Shalom Havareen, and a heartfelt welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my wonderful wife, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and blessings to all in this time of chaotic uncertainty.
Mm-hmm. Out of chaos will come order.
Yes, the new world order. And some are asking how you are doing, honey.
Well, certainly slower than what we first anticipated, still needing a cane, but our faith is strong as we patiently await full recovery.
We do. Praise the King. Now, let's all thank Jesus for the very best gift of all, our salvation.
Mm-hmm. Blessed Savior, you are our refuge and our strength. We trust that you will carry us through all our difficulties, for you, O Lord, are our burden holder, and we have the assurance that you will forever guide our way and push the big rocks out of our path. Bless tonight's program as we pray for these recent prayer requests and for the speedy healing of my femur, and as always, for the salvation of our loved ones. Now, more than ever, we continue to pray for our leaders to best fulfill your divine will. We ask in Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, where should we start?
Well, with some good news. Over the weekend, anti-Israel Congresswoman Ilhan Omar appeared at an annual Somali Independence Day. She is Somali. And that was in Minnesota, which is home to around 50,000 people of Somalia descent. Well, loud boos could be heard emanating from the crowd as she took the stage with her third husband in tow. She's really bad and very ungrateful for all that America has done for her.
Didn't she marry your brother?
Yes, that was her second marriage in order to bring him over here. Now divorced and has a third husband. And SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, ruled to limit the EPA's powers on its U.S. on citizens because Congress is the ones that should do that. The bad news is that on foreign soil last week, our president openly condemned the Supreme ruling body for turning the abortion issue over to the states, which is where it was always supposed to be.
Yeah, you know, he did embarrass us.
Well, it's not new, but he's fighting back. And with the intent to use our tax dollars to finance abortions to those who must travel to another state. And all the woke companies are subsidizing as well, some offering thousands of dollars to get an abortion.
Yeah, this is really sick.
Well, I just heard actually yesterday some good news that there are now also companies paying mothers to keep their child.
Well, hallelujah for that.
However, judgment is on its way, and we are already feeling the effects of what is to come.
As in food shortages.
And speaking of food, China, through Fufeng Corporation, a public company based in China, has just made a deal to buy up more farmland, this time 300 acres in North Dakota, very close to the Grand Forks Air Base, and very close to a large parcel of land bought by Bill Gates, who, if you don't know, has many business dealings with China.
Yeah, well, they say it's to grow corn.
Well, perhaps some, but mostly as an espionage center to spy on our military, and will monitor our airspace as their eyes focus on the many more sophisticated unmanned drones the North Dakotans manufacture.
Certainly raises national security concerns.
For sure. Three North Dakotans sold their combined land for $2.6 million. But tell the listeners how much other land China has bought up already.
Over 35 million acres.
That's a lot of land. And what about Bill Gates?
Approximately 270,000 acres in about 20 states.
We can surely hear the horses of Revelation 6 gearing up.
Yes, we can.
While on the topic of the takedown of America, as prophesied in Jeremiah 30:11.
And again in 46:28.
That we talk about a lot. But let's talk about BlackRock, which we have not mentioned in a while, but is the world's largest asset manager of about $10 trillion of U.S. assets. Its founder is Larry Fink, who is now called the King of Wall Street, who grew up Jewish but taught Jesuit students.
So a definite connection there.
And has many secret meetings at the White House. Why? Because BlackRock's influence is not limited to the corporate and financial spheres, but has managed to amass huge amounts of political clout within the Biden administration.
And the Federal Reserve.
Allowing them to develop unprecedented strategic partnerships while gaining easy access to officials in our White House, even participating in closed-door meetings with staff from the Office of Cabinet Affairs.
And the National Security Council.
Right. BlackRock's chairman, Tom Donilon, meets with Biden administration officials frequently and was Obama's national security advisor.
And also worked for Hillary Clinton.
And is on Biden's list for becoming the next CIA director. Now, you might not think that's bad because Washington needs all the help it can get. But, of course, there is much more to all of this, as you probably have already surmised. Because Donilon's job is to help BlackRock's rich clients make more money and protect their assets by being privy to important information about foreign affairs, geopolitics, etc. Therefore, such insights would be greatly enhanced by insider knowledge provided by White House staff. And there is a sense of cronyism among certain participants in these closed-door meetings. No doubts remain that Donilon is in a position for using geopolitical and foreign policy information to help investors get a good financial return.
But we have more.
I do. Tom Donilon's brother, Mike Donilon, is a senior advisor to Biden and longtime supporter of Biden's, even serving as his chief strategist throughout the 2020 presidential campaign.
And you have more.
Yes. Until earlier this year, Tom Donilon's wife, Kathy Russell, was the director of the Presidential Personnel Office, which vested her with the important task of hiring and vetting administration employees.
And then there's Sarah.
Yes, their daughter also works in the Biden administration as a staffer for the National Security Council, giving Tom Donilon yet another important contact in the White House. And that's just a smidgen. There are at least five others in different positions that have either worked for BlackRock or still do. And its founder and CEO, Larry Fink, not only meets pretty regularly, but appears to have been at the White House on February 8th, just 2 weeks before Russia's invasion of Ukraine, meeting with Steve Ricchetti, the counselor to the president. Ricchetti served as chairman of Biden's 2020 presidential campaign and has been described as the yin to the yang of Biden's other highly trusted advisor, Mike Donilon.
Tom's brother.
Yep. We keep wondering, who is behind Biden?
Seems like BlackRock plays a major role.
And many other questions come to mind, like, have any former BlackRock employees been in contact with current BlackRock staff?
Most definitely.
Have BlackRock's financial interests impacted public policy?
Definitely again.
Has advanced knowledge of the Biden's policy decisions financially enriched BlackRock, as in the war in Ukraine and the Biden administration's response towards Russia, allowing BlackRock to divest itself from riskier holdings?
Most definitely.
But without an investigation by proper authorities, we are not likely to know the full story anytime soon.
But Americans that pay attention know what the unrighteous do.
Yes. And it's not just a few or a group or two. It's just much larger, a global unit.
Of which Biden is a puppet.
Yes, you can say an illegally installed tenant in the White House posing as commander-in-chief, alongside his treasonous national security team, also manipulated, implemented, and all beholden to the Davos globalist cabal and communist China, who are to weaken America, and in my view, to place America on the precipice of destruction.
Which backs up scripture.
And why we are even talking about such corruption. And everyone expects by early September,
which is during Teshuvah,
Biden and his regime will use the pretext of an existential environmental situation or another pandemic and or the worsening economic national emergencies to declare wide-sweeping dictatorial national emergency powers to unilaterally federalize through an executive order our elections to change our voting laws back to the 2020 pandemic, those rules of universal mail-in ballots.
And numerous drop boxes.
And with extended ballot counting periods designed to ensure unquestionable victories. Understand, while we have had many successes, as noted, you know, with the recent Supreme Court decisions on abortion and the Second Amendment, massive Republican wins with conservative Republicans in the primaries, and the ever-increasing shifts in voter registrations and or switching political parties from Democrat to Republican. Nevertheless, the Democrat, radical left, Marxist, socialist, communist machine is vicious and vindictive. They are wounded, cornered vipers and will strike relentless, regardless of the cost to achieve their goal to destroy America and transitioning it into totalitarian communist states.
Well, you know, that is their goal.
They will double down at all costs to achieve that strategy and goal.
And do whatever it takes.
For the ends justify the means in their demonic minds. And I did find it interesting that although we had victories last week through SCOTUS, there was one ruling that really caught my attention.
The stay in Mexico decision.
Mm-hmm. Had Roberts and Kavanaugh not voted with the left, Trump's remain in Mexico would again be implemented. So many times those two Bush puppets have disappointed the conservatives.
But, you know, Kavanaugh was a Trump appointee.
Oh, right, yeah. But he was not on Trump's list for the Supreme Court nominees when campaigning. He was not on that list. Trump appointed Kavanaugh after making a deal with Bush, who then in return started promoting Trump when before he did not. Remember, Mrs. Kavanaugh was Bush's secretary and remained so even after his presidency.
As you wrote about when he was appointed.
I did, in July's newsletter of 2018, which is archived on our webpage. And the same with Bill Barr, when Trump made him Attorney General.
I wrote about him in March 2019.
He was also AG for Bush Sr., and now we are seeing his true colors also, and especially in his book, recently released. So as part of the globalist agenda, of course, they want as many illegals to get in.
And boy, are they.
And lastly, lawlessness continues to abound on a large scale with another shooting yesterday on the 4th during a parade in a Democrat-run Chicago, mostly Jewish suburb, killing six with over 30 wounded, and so many other instances.
And lots of protests going on in Akron.
Yes, in Ohio, over the young black man shot 60 times by 8 police after a car chase. Of course, it's under investigation, and the 8 officers are on paid leave.
All right, then. You can send your end-time question by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistry.net or call the office and leave your very detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are especially needed right now, and any donation will automatically add you to our mailing list for our newsletters and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and informative biblical teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, so tonight we want to look at the return of the Lord from a new perspective you should be aware of. As most of you know, I've been looking at 2023 as a good year for the rapture, mostly because the Feast of Trumpets begins on a Friday evening and continues on a Saturday into Sunday. Adam, according to Genesis, was created at the end of the sixth day, seemingly around sundown on Friday, and then God rested on the Sabbath. I always felt that on the anniversary of the creation of Adam, 6,000 years ago, would be the rapture on either Friday night or Saturday.
We don't know which day or hour.
Oh, yes, and God only knows what year it really is. But made sense to me that on the Sabbath would usher in the last 1,000 years of rest period known as the Millennial Kingdom, that starts for his bride in heaven, and then after the tribulation, we return with Christ to the earth and set up his earthly kingdom to continue his 1,000-year reign. And it just so happens that in 2023, his next still unfulfilled appointment falls on the Sabbath,
which always begins on Friday at sundown.
Yes. And I still hope that is the case. However, there is another scenario that is becoming quite popular that we feel should be shared with those who have not heard it yet, and it's from Skywatch TV.
Who says the rapture could be in 2025?
And here's why. But first, let me share a quick story from a while back. Our first co-host of this program, named John, made a comment to me when discussing Hosea 5:15. And into chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, which says that Christ will return in 2 days. Of course, that means 2,000 years. Perhaps not from his birth, but rather from the time of his departure back to earth after they acknowledge their offense, which will happen in their time of affliction.
The tribulation, also called Jacob's trouble.
Which would mean 2,000 years from the year of his ascension, which was 32 A.D. Now, at that time, I thought, when he said that, oh my, that is taking it too literally. There's no way I can wait that long.
And here we are, 20 years later, and now just a few years away.
So, let's look at that more closely. 2032 minus 7 for the rapture is 2025. So, perhaps in just 3 years.
And then there's NASA.
According to most astronomers, there is an asteroid approaching the Earth named Apophis that is due to possibly hit or will come very close in April of 2029. According to Revelation 8, at the midway of the tribulation,
the third trumpet,
a great star burning like a torch fell from heaven on the waters, making them bitter. Therefore, it's called wormwood, meaning bitter.
And many men died.
That's what it says. We know the tribulation begins about 10 days after the rapture, some fall harvest.
According to James 5 and Joel 2:23.
Right. So, in the middle of the tribulation, as would be 3.5 years, brings it to the springtime around April, when they say Apophis might hit in 2029. Therefore, they believe 3.5 years before that is 2025, and it will be the year of the rapture. and his return to earth at the end of the tribulation in 2032, which would be exactly 2 days or 2,000 years from his ascension, which was in 32 A.D.
And still you have more.
I do. According to Dr. Ron Johnson, who studies the Dead Sea Scrolls intently, says that the Essenes, who actually hid numerous scrolls in the caves at Qumran,
where we visited a while back.
We did. He says that the Essenes foretold when the Messiah would die for the sins of humanity. And that year was 32 A.D. Well, they were correct. And they wrote that about 100 or even perhaps 200 years prior to Christ's coming. Therefore, using Hosea's prophecy, also concluded he would return to earth in 2032.
And don't they have their own calendar?
Yes, it's called the Essenes calendar and uses the solar/lunar calendar of 364 days. Now, ours, the Gregorian calendar, is 365.25. So it's similar to ours, with each making the necessary leap adjustments, as does the lunar calendar currently used in Israel today. It is online, should you want to look at it. But in the book of Revelation, it is lunar years because God actually numbers the days or uses phrases like times, times, and half a time, or 260 days.
Yeah, he doesn't use the word years until Revelation 20.
Yes, he's pretty exact by giving the exact number of days. They also say the Essenes write that 2025 is a jubilee. Well, you can get deeper if you want. We just wanted to point out that there are those who really believe 2025 is the rapture. Of course, I'm still hoping 2023 because it comes first. But if not, we'll surely anticipate 2025, which, by the way, is exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to anticipate. He wants us to hope. He wants us to be anxiously awaiting and expect to escape his wrath, which is surely coming.
And that is a sure thing.
It is a sure thing. All right. Well, have you ever wondered whether you are an in-name only Christian that Matthew talks about in chapter 7, verses 21 through 23? Who only have a head knowledge of him and not a true heart conviction, not much desire to be in his word? Well, get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy might steal that seed away that I'm giving you right now. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He is the Messiah to anyone who wants him. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul that never dies spends eternity. It really is your call. Don't be a fool. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, you're going to prosper in many ways. So, till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.